I'm Chaim Goldman, and you're listening to The Peak Elevated. We have, as this bonus interview today, Aaron Salt, who is the president of the District 20 School Board here, Academy School District here in the Springs, and he is also on the Board of Trustees for the Pikes Peak Library District, has spent his career in education, even works up in Woodland Park in that area. And what he wants to talk about today, because we always say, what do you really want to talk about when the broadcast is over, is about school choice and also about charter schools, which are being challenged by, well, everything and everything good in the state is being challenged by what's going on in the legislature right now. But there is a charter school bill that's going on there that could really make it more difficult to do charter schools. So, Aaron, let's start with school choice. What's your position on that? What are the big issues that people should know about in this area? Colorado seems to have quite a lot of freedom over other states in that area.
They do, and we've actually lost ground to other states in recent times when it comes to school choice. But let me back up and talk a little bit about what school choice actually is. And first of all, I'm a huge proponent of school choice. That was half of my platform when I ran for school board. You know, in Colorado, we have your normal public schools, your district-run public schools. Most people think of them as your neighborhood school. What's unique about Colorado, especially in our area, is that we have this intra-district choice. So we don't really consider lines. So you could live in D11 and you could choice into District 20. You could live in D11, you could choice up into Castle Rock. You can go kind of wherever you want to go. And so it's a little bit of a unique thing, especially if you're not from Colorado, to come here and know that, oh, I don't have to go to the school down the street. That's cool. It's not like handed to you, but that's a choice that you have. So you have your normal district run public schools, and there's choice within that as far as which district you go to, and even within the district where you want to end up. There's charter schools, which are also public schools, but they're run by a different governing board. They have their own board that's brought up, and they're either elected by the community members in that school, or you'll have a self-appointed board. And so the board just says, hey, we have an opening. They interview and they say, you know, this is the guy that we're going to bring in. This is the gal we're going to bring in. There's also private schools, not publicly funded. Those are privately funded. Many of them have scholarships, but, you know, private schools. And they can be sectarian. They don't have to be. There are some private schools here that are non-sectarian. But we have some that are Christian schools or, you know, Catholic schools here in the area as well. And then the other option that we talk about typically with school choice is homeschool, which I believe that's what you elect to do. Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of the four main things that you have that you can kind of choose from. Charter schools is where I cut my teeth, and that's kind of where I came up from.
So what are the advantages, you know, of the charter schools, maybe, I don't know, say, versus, you know, the regular public schools? But why do people form charter schools?
A lot of it comes down to local control. Instead of having the school board at the district level that brings out and they set curriculum or priorities, whatever that looks like with policy, you have a board that is over one school, and that's what they're focused on. And so you can adopt your own set of policies. You can even waive out of some of the state requirements. That is much more difficult for districts to do, or almost impossible for districts to do. But charter schools have those opportunities, and some of those are automatic waivers. You just say, we want to apply for this, and it's automatically granted. There's others that actually have to be approved, but most of them, because of the way that Colorado has set up their charter schools and kind of the precedent that's set, a lot of these just automatically get waived, and it provides a lot of flexibility for that charter school to be able to operate. One of the big ones, just as an example, is teacher licensure. At a district level, you have to have a state license to be a certified teacher. Charter schools, you don't have to do that. And where that becomes important is right now, even nationally, you start to see where there are teacher shortages, and it's very difficult to find teachers in certain areas, math being one of them, special education being another one that's just, you can't find teachers. And or if you do, they don't want to stick around too long. I used to serve on the board with a gentleman. He was a math teacher at the Air Force Academy. And so he knew math really well. He was teaching math at the Air Force Academy, some of the brightest that we have in the nation. He did not have a Colorado State teaching license, so therefore he would not be able to be qualified to be a teacher at an elementary school. But he'd be perfectly fine to go and teach at a charter school because they don't have that requirement for teacher licensure.
Okay. So we have this bill, you know, as we have a lot of bills coming out of Denver during this legislative session that seek to, you know, ruin good things that we have going on. What is this HB 241363 regarding charter schools? What is it all about? What do you think the implications are of it?
So first I'll just say the name of the bill is the Charter School Accountability Act. What I will tell you is this is a death knell for charter schools.
Really?
Everything that makes charter schools goes away with this bill. And this is an intentional shot from the extremely progressive state legislators that we have, because I'll get a little political here, but the CEA, the State Teachers Union, doesn't like charter schools because they can waive out a teacher licensure. Those types of, you know, laws, statutes, they don't have to follow. And so that empowers normal people to be able to get involved in education without having to go through the hurdles and the licensure and the requirements that the CEA thinks all teachers should be held to. And so there's been a huge conflict between teachers unions and charter schools as long as charter schools have existed. And so a lot of your state legislators, and frankly, a lot of your school board members across the state, have campaigns that have been funded by the CEA. And so when you get to Denver and you start writing policy and you're funded by someone who hates charter schools, it's just a matter of time before they try to attack the charter schools too. And I've got a couple examples here that are in this bill. So one of the things, the whole process of a charter school is it has to get authorized through the school district. And if you submit an application and the district says, no, we're not going to do that, the group that is putting forth the charter application can appeal to the State Board of Education. The State Board of Education can look at it and say, district, this is a pretty good application. You need to reconsider this. And so it gets pushed back down to the local level. And the school district can say, okay, yeah, we'll approve you or no. And so if this bill were to pass, that's it. End of decision. And the charter school application can't even appeal that decision. If it gets denied the second time by the school board, then they're done. Their charter application is out the window. Currently, I can go and appeal to the State Board of Education again, and they can say, yes, this is a great application. The local board is, you know, playing games. Or they can say no, but that completely removes that appeal option. And so once the local board says nope, then it's over. However, any member of the community can appeal a charter application that was approved. So even if they aren't in the district, or they don't even have to be parents in the district.
That's if this bill passes.
Yeah. Then you could just have some curmudgeon down the street who doesn't like one of the people that's involved with the charter school, and they can appeal that and say, this charter shouldn't exist anymore. And it goes all the way up, and that's final. There's no other way to appeal that. And so you're taking power away from the charter applicants and giving it to people who have done zero work trying to get this in. And as someone who was a charter founder, I can tell you how much work, hours and hours of going through this application. Ended up being about a 90-100 page application when you're all said and done, talking about your pedagogy, talking about your curriculum, talking about your testing and how you're going to do it. This is a very in-depth application. It's not something you're just going to whip up in a couple hours. It's not like you got these flying, you know, growing off of trees that you're picking and handing out. And so for one person to not like the way that's going, be able to appeal that to have it removed, takes the power out of the hands of the people that are actually putting forth effort and trying to be involved and really helping push education into people's hands that just hold grudges. And that's really problematic.
Well, why do you think the sponsors of this bill are doing this? Do you have any, you know, wherewithal on their motivation or what you think it might be? You're speaking as a private citizen, now, not for the school board.
So, you know, I touched on this a few minutes ago, but it really, a lot of these legislators that are sponsoring this or supporting this do have ties back at some level to the state union, teachers association. You know, if you get rid of the local, we see a progressive trend across the state right now towards taking local control away and having the state mandate things that normal citizens are then obligated to do. And you see this in every area. You see it in business, you see it in, you know, firearms and the amount of the number of bills that are coming through trying to restrict the Second Amendment is just astonishing. I won't get into that tangent, but you know, and so this is just another example of taking away local control and having everything held at the state level, and that the state tells you what you can and cannot do.
I mean, it also seems, I mean, I don't know, but with seeing a lot of time where the state couldn't do it, so they have businesses do it, or the state can't do it, so they empower activists to do it. So it seems like giving power, especially with this appeal process and how an individual can get involved, you know, just seems like part of the plan to, you know, to interfere. But in the end, you know, a charter school would rise and fall whether parents want to send their children to it. And so this isn't something, it seems like, you know, let them go, you know, as long as they have everything in place, and then see if the charter school can get parents in. That would seem to be the right way to go if we were talking about parents having choice.
Absolutely. Charter schools, I like to say charter schools is the free market in education. If nobody comes to your business, if nobody comes to your charter school, then you don't get funding. You don't make a profit, and the business folds. The school closes. And, you know, many times it doesn't even open. I was part of a charter school effort that failed the first time just because we didn't get the number of people that we needed to actually make it a sustainable thing. And so we didn't get approved, which is great. That means the system's working, right? Like, we didn't have people to show up and support us, so we didn't get open. We tried again. We had a little bit of a different model. We tweaked a bunch of stuff and had a little longer runway in order to kind of get the name out and market it. And we grew, we hit it ground running. We had enormous support, and you know, that school is now about 650 students as a PK-8 school. So,
okay. Aaron Salt, president of the D20 school board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaim. Appreciate you giving me some time here.
I'm Chaim Goldman for the Peak.